Just like to refer to one section of scripture, and that is in John's Gospel, chapter 19. John's Gospel, chapter 19, and we'll start from verse 1. Then Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers, having plaited a crown of thorns, put it on his head and put a purple robe on him, and came to him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and gave him blows on the face. And Pilate went out again and says to them, "Lo, I bring him out to you, that ye may know that I find in him no fault whatever." Jesus, therefore, went forth without, wearing the crown of thorn and the purple robe. And he says to them, "Behold the man." When, therefore, the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify, crucify him." Pilate says to them, "Take him ye and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." My very simple desire in the gospel tonight, dear friends, is to present to you the glory and greatness of God's man, and to draw your attention particularly to the exclamation that came out of Pilate's mouth. Whether it was in derision or in mockery, it doesn't matter. These words, "Behold the man." And you know, God is saying the same thing tonight. "Behold the man," you know. Because God has only one man before him, and that's his well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is being offered in the gospel as the only means of your salvation tonight, dear friends. And what a cost it has been to him to provide such a man. And that is what the gospel message is, you know. I was just speaking to Uncle Mike before the gospel, and he spoke about a message that was behind a pulpit that said to whoever was speaking at the time, not to mention the cross, not to mention sins, and not to mention the blood. Well, there's no gospel with either of these three things, dear friends. There is no gospel message without the cross, the blood, or sins, you know. And the first thing you must understand, dear friend, tonight, is that you are a sinner before the eyes of a holy and a righteous God, you know. Doesn't matter how many times you've sat under the sound of the gospel, you know. You might be 70 or 80 years old having sat under the sound of countless gospels. You may have given your heart to the Lord, but you know, it should affect every one of our hearts afresh to hear the glory and greatness of the gospel message as it concerns Christ, you know. God's man, how wonderful, you know, that he has provided such a wonderful Saviour, placed him within the reach of every man, woman and child in the universe tonight. But the question is, dear friends, do you feel your need of him? Because that's what the hymn says, all the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. So the starting point, dear friends, is that you accept that you are a sinner before the eyes of a holy and a righteous God, and that you need a Saviour, you know. And how wonderful that he's provided such a Saviour, you know. By sending his well-beloved Son into this sad, stricken world, you know. A scene that cast him out from the outset, you know. It tells us that there was no room for him in the inn, you know. No room for Jesus at his incoming. And is it any different in the world today? There is still no room for Christ, dear friends. Oh, that you would reverse the world's judgment in your heart tonight and open your heart's door to accept the Saviour. How worthy he is of your acceptance, you know. There is no one who has loved you as Jesus has loved you, dear friends. He loved you so much that he gave his life for you. How wonderful the gospel message is, you know. The message is so great, you know, and yet so simple. And my simple desire is, dear friends, that you haven't already done so, that you will open your heart to this glorious man tonight. Well, this section that I read of, you know, was during the trial of the Lord, you know. Think of the mockery of this trial, you know, that the blessed Son of God was put through before he was placed on Calvary's cross, you know. Think of all that he endured at the hands of men, you know, men that he'd come to save, you know. Think of how it came to his own and his own received him not. Think of the rejection of Christ, you know, how solemn it is. Let not your heart be one that rejects Christ tonight, you know, when he's being offered in such wonderful terms in the gospel tonight. Well, the Pilate, you know, had inquired and inquired, and he could find no fault in Christ. Of course he couldn't, because Christ was the perfect man, you know. The only sinless man to have ever walked this earth, you know. How wonderful that is. God's man. How it does us good, you know, to study the life of Jesus. How it good does our souls good, you know, to look at that life. You think of the perfection of his manhood. You think of the how God declared his delight upon his well-beloved son. This is my beloved son, in whom I have found my delight. Have you found your delight in Christ, dear friends? I lay that as a question to each one, because you, dear friend, are the only one that can answer that. Only you know if you have put your faith and trust in the Saviour and in his finished work on Calvary's cross. Well, it says, lo, I bring him out to you that you may know that I find in him no fault whatever, you know. Pilate was condemning himself, you know. He said to the Jews, you take him away and crucify him. He effectively washed his hands of the situation, you know. But Pilate will be held to account, you know, for delivering up the Lord to be crucified, you know. But he says, behold the man. What a spectacle, you know. You think of what it says, that they plaited a crown of thorns on his head and put a purple robe on him. You know, think of the mockery, you might have said, of the situation, yet the dignity of the Lord as he walked out to that baying mob, you know. And what was the cry? Crucify, crucify him. And it's no different today, you know. And you know, dear friends, just to bring it down to yourself, you know, if you had been amongst this crowd, you would have been no different. You would have been among those who cried, crucify, crucify him. Because, you know, that's what's in the heart of each and every man away from God, you know. There is that in our hearts, as away from the blessed God, that hates Christ, you know. And you know how it does us good to realise, dear friends, that each one of us has to come this divinely appointed way, you know. Well, it says, behold the man. This is a very simple message, but I just desire, dear friends, that you would take a fresh look with me tonight at Calvary's cross, you know. Because there's nothing, there's no scene that will that is like it, that will affect your heart tonight, dear friends, than taking a fresh look at Calvary's cross. You know, the hymn writer could say, 'Twas there my Saviour suffered and tasted death for me. Well, dear friends, only you know if you can speak these words from your heart, you know. Is he your Saviour? Did he taste death for you, you know? He died, you know, for all. But, you know, it's only if you put your faith and trust in him that the work applies to you, you know. Think of how the work has been done. It's been done for all. But each one of us has a responsibility to put our faith and trust in Christ, you know. Well, may you do so. Well, you see him hanging there, having endured those sufferings and taunts at the hands of men, you know. Think of them shouting, come down from the cross and we will believe in you, you know. You know, think of that. And think of how they said as well, that they would believe on him if he came down, you know. It just affects my heart, you know. He has saved others. Himself he cannot save, you know. You know, these words are very true. Because, you know, if he had come down from the cross, there would be nothing to believe in. I wouldn't be standing here tonight being able to proclaim the glad tidings of the grace of God if Christ had come down from Calvary's cross, you know. How wonderful that is that he hung there. He hung there in love for you and I, dear friends, for lost, ruined sinners. It wasn't the nails that hung him there. Think of those nails that were driven in hatred, but it wasn't the nails that held him there. It was his love for lost and ruined sinners like you and I. How it should affect your heart, dear friends, that the Lord Jesus Christ was prepared to die and suffer for you, dear friends, in your place. Those of us who have sinned, it says the wages of sin is death, you know. Do you understand that, dear friends? The wages of sin is death. There is no alternative to that. But, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ came in, you know, he came into this world, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, you know. That was the work that was taken on board on Calvary's cross, you know. Think of him hanging there. Those 3 hours of darkness that clothed the scene. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me, you know? Think of the feelings of Christ, you know, at that point on Calvary's cross. If you are in any doubt as to the enormity of what it meant for Christ to be made sin, dear friends, you only have to look at the Gospels. And you see there the feelings of Christ coming out. Think of what it says in Lamentations. I know it refers to Jerusalem and Israel, but it has its application to Christ. Is it nothing to you, all ye who pass by, see if there be sorrow like unto my sorrow, whom Jehovah has afflicted in the day of his fierce anger, you know. Think of the sorrows of Christ. Think of what was heaped upon his head as the blessed God heaped out his judgment of sin and sins against the head of Christ, you know. How it should affect your heart and mine, dear friends. No matter how often you've heard the story of the gospel, that Christ, that God was prepared to do that to his own blessed son, you know, in order that he might have a righteous basis to come out in blessing to lost and ruined sinners like you and I. There's no story like the gospel, dear friends. I know that you might come to know this wonderful Saviour. Think of the shedding of his precious blood too, you know. How important, how vital it is that it's brought into the gospel message, you know. Think of that soldier coming along, wanting to speed up the deaths of those on the cross, coming to Jesus, seeing that he was already dead, plunged a spear into his side. What does it say? Forthwith came out blood and water. Think of God's answer to the hatred of man, you know. Forthwith came out blood and water. How wonderful that is. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. You think of how it was foretold in the sacrifices of old, when the blood had to be shed, you know. You think of what the children of Israel had to do. They had to take the blood and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel. And it says, God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over, you know, when I see the blood. Well, you know, it's the same tonight, dear friends. You accept Christ as your Saviour. Come under the shelter of his precious shed blood, and God passes over, you know. How wonderful that is, that he sees the perfection of the sacrifice of his well-beloved son, dear friends, and accepts you as a son before his face. How wonderful that is. God's thoughts for the lost, ruined sinner, you know, how wonderful they are. Well, he went into he went into death, you know, and he went into the grave. Think of that. The originator of life ye slew, you know. Think of that. The originator of life lay in death for 3 days and 3 nights. Think of that. How solemn that is. But yet, how impossible it was that such a one should remain in death eternally, you know. He was raised on the third day by the glory of the Father. You might have said, I was impressed by a preaching we had recently that the preacher said, you might have said that God raised Christ at the earliest opportunity, you know. Think of that. The blessed God raising Christ, his seal of approval on the work of Christ, you know. And so it is that he is being offered as a Saviour for everyone who will but put their faith and trust in his finished work, you know. How simple it is, dear friends, isn't it? How simple. Let not the simple nature of the gospel message get in the way of your blessing tonight, you know. Think of those who would seek to go on pilgrimages in order to obtain salvation, or do good works all their life, thinking that it will meet them, it will save them a slot in heaven, you might say. But yet it says, the work has been done, you know. It says, no need now to labour. The work has been done, as the hymn says, you know. Christ has done the work. There is nothing to be done except for you, dear friend, to put your faith and trust in this blessed one. Well, dear friends, it's a very simple word, and I desire simply that you will take a fresh look and behold God's man tonight, you know. He's being offered tonight as a saviour for you, you know. But, you know, in a coming day, you know, that same one who is being offered as a saviour will be your judge if you haven't accepted him, you know. Solemn part of the gospel, you know, is that time is short. Time is short. And you know, I believe that we're very soon at the end, very near the end of this wonderful dispensation of grace. You think of God going on with man. You think of the darkness in the world. You think of how God is being cast aside on all counts. And yet God is still pleading. Well, you know, there is going to come a day when there will be no more pleading, you know. The time will be up. And you know, if you haven't then put your faith and trust in Christ, you know, the time is too late, you know. Behold, now is the well-accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. How important it is, dear friend, that you realise the shortness of time. You think of those in those recent atrocities in France, when they were taken from time to eternity in a moment of time. No time, you know. Your time is now. Dear friend, and you have an opportunity. The blessed God has been pleased to grant you a fresh opportunity tonight as you sit in your seat to accept the Saviour that He's provided in Christ, you know. Don't waste this precious opportunity, or you will find, dear friends, you will stand before this blessed one as a judge, you know, and there will be nothing to plead your case, you know. Well, that is the solemn side of the gospel, but the fact is, dear friends, that tonight you have an opportunity. May you put your faith and trust in this blessed man. Behold the man for his name's sake.